Hello and welcome to Nebraska Prep Zone Report, a podcast from the World Herald for your ears, as Sauter is over here TikToking. That's my co-host, Mike Sauter. How you doing today, Mike?
I'm good.
And I am Jake Anderson. We are going to preview week 6 of Nebraska high school football, talk some recruiting news, and full disclosure, a little inside baseball. This season is flying by. On our show notes, I put week 5. It is week 6.
Yeah, it's week 6.
It's a light schedule this week, but that's good because we have a lot of recruiting news to hit. So let's get right into Class A. I have two games here. Number 2, Millard West, 5-0, hosting number 9, Kearney, 4-1.
Tough test for Millard West, or tough test for both teams, I think. Kearney, obviously, Miko Mazur brings a different element. He is clearly a fantastic runner. He's fully healthy this year. He's putting up big numbers. We'll see if that Millard West defense can be tested a little bit by him and that Kearney offense. This is, you know, Millard West beat Millard South last week, and it's one of the biggest games for them on their schedule left is Kearney this week, and then they play Grand Island next week. So, looking ahead, these 2 weeks are pretty big for Millard West. If they can kind of escape those, if you will, then they're really good. I think they're really good. I think defensively they're fantastic for sure. And Tristan Gomez is one of the best quarterbacks in the state. So, it's definitely Kearney traveling to Millard West is going to be a tough one. And, we'll see if Kearney and Coach Cool has anything kind of in store as far as being able to move the ball and score against Millard West, because frankly no one really has.
Yeah, Millard West has survived all of their tests this season, or all of its tests. They took down Millard South, and Millard South heading into that game was number 2 in the rankings,
right?
So it's Millard West, I don't think, has anything to prove here. It's, to me, I want to see what Kearney can do after that long road trip.
Right. And again, you have a guy like Miko Mazur who can score a bunch of different ways. You try and get him the ball, kick returns, punt returns, out of the backfield, just straight handoffs. I mean, catching the ball, all those things. He's pretty versatile. So he can be a game changer and game breaker for you. So we'll see. I'm sure Millard West will have something kind of specifically schemed up for him, but should be a tough kind of test for maybe both teams. Two top 10 teams, obviously, that are traditionally really good.
Yeah. Our other Class A game here, number 7 Elkhorn South, 4-1, hosting number 3 Millard South, also 4-1. And I want to see what Elkhorn South can do here, respond after that loss to Bellevue West. What can they do here? But also Millard South, after the loss to Millard West.
Right.
It's a good test for both teams.
Yeah, both teams bounce back after losing their games, and nicely, right? They weren't really tested last week. But this game is going to be a battle of the trenches and kind of war of attrition. Both teams have very good offensive lines. Both teams have good enough athletes at the different skill positions. Quarterbacks are pretty comparable, I would say. Elliot Brown for Elkhorn South and TJ Urban, who's a junior, and Brown is a senior. But both are athletic. Both run it more than they pass it. Both teams run it significantly more than they pass it too. So I guess if I'm kind of looking at the game, I think it's going to be a really low scoring game. Yep. When I say low scoring, I mean, maybe 24-21. In the 30s or anything like that.
Both teams can run the ball well. They'll control the clock.
Right.
Isaiah Harris for Millard South
right.
is one of the best running backs in the state.
And Eli Husted for Elkhorn South is one of the best, too.
Yep.
So there's some comparisons there. I mean, both have kind of star offensive linemen.
Yep.
Both teams have offensive linemen that are really good, that don't get the kind of talk that the others do on their own team. So, whoever can win the line of scrimmage is going to win the game. And that in particular is this game for sure. Not a lot of outside plays and passing and stuff like that. I think it's going to be really just kind of in between the hashes type of game. Unless maybe an Antro Taylor for Millard South can catch a jet sweep or something. And, Guy Hunt's a really nice kind of slot receiver for Elkhorn South that I like a lot. And he's going to have a game where he's going to catch a few passes and break a few tackles and stuff and score a touchdown. So just kind of waiting for that to happen. And Chase Purchill, if he's back, he's an absolute difference maker for Millard South. And we'll see if he's back. I don't know that yet at this point if he's going to play this week. But, again, it should be a fun game. I think it'll be a close game and two pretty kind of evenly matched-ish teams.
It's also the fan-voted Pinnacle Bank
game of the week. Yeah, it's the Pinnacle Bank game of the week.
You'll be there.
Yeah.
You'll have video of all the action, coach reaction, halftime, post-game, at Mike Sauter, OWH, and after the game on nebhsrecruiting.com.
Yep.
As well as anyprepzone.com. Let's jump to Class B here. And this is a matchup that it might be my game of the week. I know those games in Class A are really good, but I'm really curious to see what happens this one. Number 5, Omaha Roncalli, hosting number 9, Elkhorn Mount Michael. Roncalli comes in at 3-2. Mount Michael comes in at 5-0. This is the first time I could see on record, or you know, as long as we can go back, 5-0 this late in the season for Elkhorn Mount Michael. It's Greg Wunderlich's third season. Last year they finished 6-4 with a first round loss in 2018. Every year under him they've kind of improved,
gotten better and
his first year 2017 they're 4-5, but this is a program historically that hasn't been very good. I compiled their most recent records. So 2018, 6-4, 2017, 4-5, 2016, 5-7, as recently as 2015, they're 2-8. So what can we expect from this one?
Well, this is a like you said, like traditionally not great, right? For Elkhorn Mount Michael. This is a prove it game for them. Like if they can win this game, then it's like, okay, you've done it. Now it's time to, like, I know Stu, who does our ratings, he's moved them up to 9, you know, finally, like, moved up a spot after being undefeated. So if they can win this one, they'll jump right into the fray and be one of the teams that should be talked about to challenge, you know, maybe a Scut in Scut or Waverly, like, in that conversation. Because I think Roncalli's definitely in that conversation. So, yeah. You know, they lost 2 games, but I think, you know, as Roncalli's a team you don't want to play in the playoffs, in particular just because their offense can get rolling on you pretty quick. So if Mount Michael can go in and get the job done at Roncalli, it'd be a pretty huge win for them, like you said. And I, you know, we'll see what happens. I haven't seen Mount Michael play this year yet, but I've seen Roncalli twice, so... it's definitely a tough challenge for Mount Michael, and we'll see, you know, if, there's been some talk from Mount Michael fans and people saying, hey, what about us? What about us? What about us? Well, this is your time to go prove that. What about us on Friday night against a really good team?
The Crimson Pride are battle tested. They're not going to make it easy.
Right. No question. I mean, lost a close one to Scut. Beat Bennington last week, kind of bounced back, lost 2 in a row, I guess. So got ran on bad by Waverly, 600 and some yards. Waverly, I think, is the real deal. So, in particular, offensively and running football. So, we'll see kind of if Mount Michael can kind of take that sort of game plan of just pound the rock. And Roncalli's had trouble stopping the run this year.
And we know that Roncalli loves to be a air it out, high-flying offensive attack. How do we project this one?
Well, I like I said, I don't know. I haven't seen Mount Michael. I would say, obviously, Roncalli gets sort of the nod just because there's Mount Michael's still a little bit of an unknown. But at this point, you know, they do have 2 losses, and their 1 loss was against a Waverly team that rushed for over 600 yards in a game.
Yeah.
In that game. So, tough to tell what happens, but when you have Jack Dotzer back there just making plays like he does, he's awfully hard to beat unless he's making too many mistakes. He made a couple last week against Bennington on Thursday night. But if he's making too many, then obviously that'll affect you. So, sometimes he tries to do a little too much, but you know, when he is back there just breaking tackles and escaping pressure, he's awfully tough to stop.
And then I have one game for Class C1. Number 5, Wahoo Newman, 5-0, hosting number 10 Columbus SCOTUS, 4-1.
Right. Teams, I think, don't really necessarily like each other that much, and that goes back to kind of football. A couple years ago, four, five, both teams were really good at basketball and met in the state finals back-to-back years, and you had really good athletes going back and forth, and I think there's a little bit of there. I mean, obviously, two Catholic schools and the smaller classes in sort of a general area of the state together. So, you know, it should be a close, really close game. It's at Newman. And, you know, SCOTUS has they have like wins, you know, against each other and or similar competition. So could be a close game. And if Newman can kind of roll here against SCOTUS, then, you know, maybe they're for real and probably deserve to be talked about a little bit more than what we are.
Yeah. And we really buried the lead here because the recruiting news happened over the weekend. The recruiting news.
Yeah. So
Chucky Hepburn to Wisconsin. Let's lead off with that one. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed your pieces that you had, the initial recruiting news, and then I always enjoy what coaches say about this commit, what Wisconsin is getting in Chucky Hepburn. He's drawn comparisons to former Badger All-American Jordan Taylor.
Right, which is pretty, I mean, that's pretty lucky. Awesome. Yeah, and Chucky's just a junior, so he has, you know, a whole 2 years, two seasons of high school basketball left. And, you know, Jordan Taylor was a heck of a basketball player. Yeah. So when you have that comparison, I think the biggest thing is they're both exceptional leaders on and off the court. Teammates, you know, rally around them, not just their own teammates, but in the school itself, they're kind of influencers and leaders. So that's important, all those intangible things. And then when you really look at it deeper, he fits exactly how Wisconsin likes to play. He is, when I say not the most athletic, that's not a knock. That's just not, he's not like, you know, 40-inch vertical and like getting crazy, you know, and he doesn't have crazy length. But what he is, he's super strong, can handle the ball, and a very good on-the-ball defender. And even off-the-ball defender, he's great. He can jump passing lanes, has great anticipation. So I think that he fits extremely well to Wisconsin and how their culture and how they like to play.
And to speak to that good fit, I enjoyed this coach's quote you had. Chucky is athletically and physically ready to compete in the Big Ten.
Right.
He's extremely hard to keep out of the paint. I think he will fit well into how Wisconsin has typically played in the past.
And that's kind of exactly what I said. I mean, physically meaning he's 6'1", 190, 195 right now already. He doesn't need to get any bigger or taller to be a point guard in the Big Ten. He just doesn't. And he's got enough bounce and quickness and all of those things. So there's nothing really there. Now, the comparison that I kind of like to make with him, and maybe it's just because they're both U.S. guards, is Antoine Young and Josh Dotsler. Creighton fans or high school basketball fans will remember. Antoine was a great shooter, a great scorer, and Josh was a great defender, great leader, great all the intangible things. Chucky's kind of a mix of both. Yeah. He does need to shoot the three a little bit better, but he's a mix of both Antoine Young and Josh Dotsler. He can score and he can burst you in scoring, like big quick hits, like where he can score a couple possessions in a row from a three, a pull up, a layup after a steal, those sort of things. Or he doesn't need to score for his team to win, and that's kind of how Josh was a little bit.
Yeah. I know those Creighton fans that enjoyed watching Antoine Young were looking forward, hoping to have Chucky at Creighton. So the dominoes are starting to fall a little bit in that 2020 recruiting class. Max Merrill a few weeks ago.
He's
another 20. Another guy that Creighton fans were hoping to have.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now Chucky Hepburn. How is this kind of getting the ball rolling? Does this affect Hunter Salas at all?
I don't think so. I don't think at all, really. Now, I did think for a while, I was like, hey, there's a possibility both these guys, Hunter and Chucky, could go to the same place together because they're friends. They grew up friends. They grew up playing summer or club basketball together. And I thought that that there was a possibility, hey, man, it wouldn't surprise me if they both end up at Nebraska or Creighton or something like that. So now I think that changes it. Hunter doesn't have an offer from Wisconsin. I'm not sure he really fits, like, their wings. They like bigger, kind of stronger dudes. And Hunter's longer and a little more athletic. So I'm not so sure that, that's a possibility. But I don't think it speeds up anything for Hunter. I think he's going to take his time. I think... Honestly, I think Chucky just found the right fit. That was the right fit for him. It's obvious. It's honestly a kind of a perfect fit.
From he seems like a Wisconsin.
Yeah. So that's probably the reason why he jumped on it. And I don't blame him. I probably would too. Once you find it, there's no reason to mess around and get crazy. So,
so who's the next big name that we could see committing? Who should we have an eye on?
Basketball wise, as far as Division One guys, Latrell Reitzel Jr. is the one that has an offer right now, or multiple offers, obviously, that hasn't. He has South Dakota State, North Texas, SIU Edwardsville is another school that is offered. I can't remember the other one or ones, but that's okay. He did just take a visit to Tulsa recently, so they haven't offered yet. But he's the next kind of name.
Okay. And the other name, big news from the weekend, that made Husker fans very happy before the game, Teddy Prochaska, the big offensive lineman from Elkhorn South. And when I say big, I mean big. 6'9", 290. Right now they're projecting him at offensive tackle. As you've noted, he could also play on the defensive line. What does he bring to Nebraska?
Yeah, he brings they need about 6'9", 285 pounds, that looks like he's about 240 because he's kind of a slim 285. So his frame is perfect. It's great for what they need, or great for adding, getting him up to about 320, 345. He's offensive tackle. He brings some nasty. He's a better run blocker right now than pass blocker, but that's what they do at Elkhorn South, is run the ball. But he's tough, he's loud, he's vocal, he's the quintessential kind of big time offensive lineman, just with his frame and the way he plays.
So do you think he projects more, and I know this may not be anything for you to answer, as a right or left tackle?
Probably more of a, well, he play, I'd say probably more of a right tackle, just because he's 6'9" is pretty hard to protect that backside real quick, but I don't know. He probably played both. Doesn't matter. He's not going to kick inside because he's probably too big for that. But he could play defensive line. That's just my opinion. Yeah. I think he could be maybe a nose, but that's honestly my opinion. Nebraska sees him as an offensive lineman and offensive tackle, but. Probably will be, I don't know, I bet probably more of a right tackle than left, but we'll see.
And he's a guy that not just his own coach is praising. This stood out to me from your piece, what other coaches say, what Nebraska's getting. Bellevue West, Michael Huffman. I mean, Bellevue West has produced Division I athletes, so he knows what he's talking about. Teddy's potential is through the roof. His body size and length combined with the way he can move make me believe he will be a future All-American.
Yeah, I mean, well, and that just shows you. I mean, he's 285, looks like he's 245 probably. and he's a pretty humble kid, quiet, not overly quiet, but he's kind of a humble kid, just goes about his business. I know, like, his reaction was pretty cool to see when he told Frost on the sidelines, it was, one of the people down there, and he's over there, and then he starts shaking hands with the staff, and they're hugging and stuff, and like you could feel the relief from him, and you could also feel like he was a little embarrassed a little bit. It kind of looked like it, like he was just kind of like, oh man, like all these people are, but that's sort of offensive lineman, I guess.
Right. He's been in Lincoln a ton.
Yeah, he's been there a ton for and camps and games.
He was at Nebraska Pipeline Camp, so Nebraska coaches know him.
Yeah.
You could tell he was a guy they really wanted to get.
They offered him a little over a year ago. And when they offered him, you kind of were like, all right, other people are coming. But I felt like it was only a matter of time.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about a top 100 offensive lineman, top 100 player in the country in the 21 class.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the better offensive linemen in the country. So it's a pretty good get for Nebraska.
Oh, yeah.
Him and Avante Dickerson, which is the exact – you know, opposite of him, super quick, speedy, fast guy.
Yeah.
That's, you know, those are the top two guys in the 21 class right now, and they both have Nebraska offers. We'll see what Dickerson does. I think that'll be something, you know, maybe next spring or summer that he decides. I'm not sure he'll jump on anything that quick.
And I wanted to talk to you real quick. You were in Lincoln, mm-hmm. and as Husker fans know, despite the outcome of the game, and how quickly it got out of hand. It was a big recruiting weekend mm-hmm. for them. They had a lot of people on campus. There were a lot of people impressed by the scene. What was the overall, what was Saturday before the game? What was that like? Game day was there.
Yeah, there was a lot of juice. I mean, there was the anticipation and the excitement. It was there. I mean, in particular, like on the sideline, the tunnel walk was pretty jacked up. The recruits that were on the sideline for it were, I mean, had their phones out and like jumping up and down. Like they were excited. Honestly, like people think that the game and the outcome affects recruiting mm-hmm. and stuff. And yeah, it does to a degree, but people as in recruits or prospects really look at it maybe more as an opportunity. Hey, I can play right away.
Mm-hmm.
Or they look at it like they it doesn't matter. They're not the ones on the field playing. They look at more of the atmosphere and, mm-hmm. hey, these fans stayed and all those sort of things versus that what happened on the field. That doesn't affect them.
It's this atmosphere for a team that was 4-8 last
year. Right. So that stuff matters. So I think that's some of the feedback that's been out there was it doesn't really matter. It's all the stuff around the game that they really focus on anyway.
Yeah.
And
the facility announcement.
Yeah. All of those things matter more than the actual outcome of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, weather plays into it. Yeah. All of that stuff really affects things more than the, you know, 48-7 or whatever the final score was. It helps if they win because everyone's in a better mood, but, I don't think it matters that much.
Can you give a little bit of the behind the scenes as much as you can? How much they or what they had some of those recruits do? Meet with Bill Moos, meet with Scott Frost. What was that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that happens. Moos kind of usually always comes out or the president and stuff shakes hands, introduces himself before the game, pregame on the sideline things, and then it's funny because they always stick the higher priority or profile guys in the middle of the field before the game, and then the other guys are on the sidelines. So it's kind of grouped, and it's interesting how they go about the groupings every week. That's basically all they do is just to hang out and stuff like that. I mean, there's no, you know, obviously they do dinner for official visits. There's a lot more. You do dinners and all of those things, but unofficial visits are just, you know, you basically go to the game, you hang out maybe in the locker room a little bit before the game, and maybe they have a little bit of spread of something to eat, maybe a little, but nothing really more than that.
All right. Well, that's all we have for today. Until next week, I'm Jake Anderson, Mike Sauter. Sure, check us out, anyprepzone.com. Hit that subscribe button. Thanks for listening.